The Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by Fellowship Home Loans. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brant's new book, The Truth About Us, go to BrantHanson.com.
It is time for Brant's Three Things. We got giant fanfare here. Hopefully this is encouraging to you. Actually, three thoughts for me that I thought I would share with you. And it's three reminders for me that I have to remember during divided times, especially social media, people going after each other and that sort of stuff. It's hard. It's very difficult not to watch the news and get agitated or have a flash of anger really fast. Like, just, it's very, very difficult. So three reminders for me in the midst of that. Number one, I have to remember that scripture. It's in Romans. And it says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And remember, these are believers in Rome. They're not on the inside group. They're marginalized, and they are not treated well. But he's still saying, even like dealing with the government, dealing with stuff that, you know, we don't even understand, not fully. Mm-hmm. But he's saying, as far as it depends on you, you can't control everybody else. But as far as it depends on you, you're making the effort to live at peace with people. Here's another big reminder during divided times. It helps me. So I'm reminding myself is what I'm doing. So I'm using my radio show to do it, if that's okay. Sometimes you have to say things out loud and hear yourself say it. I have to be for people. That means everybody. I have to be for them. So I see people in the news. They're aggravating to me. They're frustrating. The people who hate me or people like me or whatever, I have to be for them. And I keep seeing that in scripture where even the people Jesus is being very direct with, he still is for them. He's still going to go to Calvary for them. He's still even going to say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. There's scripture that says it's not God's desire that anyone should perish, that anybody die. Like, that's not his goal. He doesn't want that. People choose things. That's on them. But I've got to be in a mindset of being for people. This is something I have to tell myself. I have to remind myself the way of Jesus. If I say I'm going to follow him, if I say that, that way is forgiveness. Mm. His way is a way of forgiveness. There's no way around this. It's mandatory. And no, Jesus wasn't saying by saying, if you want to be forgiven, you'll have to forgive. Like, he was not saying that everything's right, everything's fine. You just have to pretend there's no problem. That's not what he's saying.
That's why you have to forgive, because there is a problem.
There is a problem. And it's hard to forgive and to let go of my entitlement to my anger. But by doing that, it forces me into humility. There's no doubt about it. I wind up having to give up something that's valuable to me, which is my anger. And then I have to work for doing the right thing, being merciful to people anyway, but not without anger. I have to be forgiving. This is the way of Jesus. I can't get around that. Got a note from Susanna, who listens to the show. She said, Brant, I tried the joke out on my husband, the one about the
Which
ducks.
One?
Well, she said know. The one where the duck says quack and the other duck says, hey, I was going to say that.
Oh.
My husband was not amused.
Yeah. Neither was I.
So then I tried it with a cow.
Oh, yeah.
She said about the moo thing.
Yeah.
Turns out that wasn't funny either. So then I tried a chicken.
Okay.
And then I tried it with a cat. Like, meow.
Well, she's committed.
Apparently, it's just not a funny joke. Good. No matter what animal you use.
Yeah.
So, Susanna.
That's what I suspected.
Well, ignore Sherry and ignore your husband.
For a moment. Goodness.
For a moment.
Okay.
Don't give up on the joke.
How many animals is she supposed to
it's
try?
It's about delivery. I was just telling her. It's about delivery. You guys are going to keep trying the delivery. Eventually, it's funny. I promise you. It's a matter of honing
don't
it.
Don't promise that.
Honing, training, working,
okay.
Getting more skilled.
It's the delivery that's the
Eventually,
problem,
Eventually, he
joke.
Will relent and realize it's hilarious. You know, honey, a lot of guys look to me as kind of an example of...
Of what?
I don't want to say cool or suave or anything, but just somebody kind of cool and suave that they
do?
To. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I've never heard any of them.
And I want you to know, one of the guys that are one of my acolytes that listen.
Oh, you have acolytes. I didn't know that we had graduated to that.
Yep. Don't believe every news item you see about what women are attracted to.
Okay.
For example, today in the news, it says a new study found that if women see a photo of a man holding a cat, mm-hmm. you're less attractive. They take the same photo, same guys, but then they give him a cat. And okay. They're like, eh.
Really?
Yeah.
I wonder why.
Yeah, I don't believe it.
Why?
Well, it depends on the cat.
Rant.
No, seriously. Okay. In the context, they're not giving the same. What if it's like he's in a village here among children, goodness. And look at the bobcat he's got by the scruff of the neck that he caught with his bare hands to defend the village. No woman is going to look at that and be like,
Brant.
I don't like bobcat guy.
This is what you're giving to your acolytes.
They do
the bobcat guy.
Acolytes, please know that they do like bobcat guy. They do like that. Man, it's hard when people are at each other's throats. You turn on the news or whatever. Or social media is very difficult to remember. For those of us who are Jesus followers and want to take him seriously, like, I have to forgive people. There's no way around this.
And I get a lot of pushback when I say that because people like living in anger, quite frankly, right? Because we get to feel self-righteous.
Yes.
But when I walk in forgiveness, it forces me into humility. That's what you said earlier, and it stuck with me because the Bible says that he gives more grace to the humble.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's not telling me not to confront things that are wrong.
Of course.
But I get to do it with grace when I'm humble because he's given me the grace because I've forgiven and I'm walking in humility. That's the only way. If not, then it's just a bunch of anger and outrage. And how's that any different?
It's true. I'm not Mr. Finance. I don't know what I'm doing, honestly, but I do know a good deal. And Fellowship Home Loans sponsors our podcast in part, a large part, because we both have used them for our own loans.
Mm-hmm.
Been incredible. They're wonderful to work with. Mike and Brian at Fellowship Home Loans saved a ton of money by refinancing my house. And we just bought it last year. Mm-hmm. So that's how fast, like, interest rates have gone down. You should look into it. Just find out. It could be, you know, hundreds and hundreds a month, and you pay off your house faster. Incredible how this works. Sherry bought her house through them, too. It's awesome. Anyway, their phone number, and we appreciate them being sponsors of the podcast. It's 800-804-SAVE. Mike and Brian, Fellowship Home Loans, 800-804-SAVE. Just talking about what women find attractive. And I gotta tell you, as somebody who's been happily married for decades,
mm-hmm.
like, I know this. I've studied my wife.
Mm-hmm.
I've made her a point of all my attention and interest, and also observe, because I was clueless on this before I got married.
Yeah.
Honestly. But now I've figured it out. There are certain things that women are like, that's attractive.
Okay.
For example, his name is Muhammad McBell.
Mm-hmm.
He just set a Guinness World Record. He stacked 3 eggs. That is the world record.
He's
on top of each other. Balance them.
Okay.
Imagine, it's hard to get one to balance.
No, I get it. Are you saying that is something a woman would find attractive?
Oh, absolutely.
Brant.
Absolutely. No, you would. You would.
No, you can't tell me what
You have. You would. No, it is. I do know because it shows a commitment.
Okay.
To care, mm-hmm. Balance,
yeah.
like just... All of that. It's passion. You have to be passionate. You can't do something like that without bringing some ambition into this.
And I would say, knowing your wife as I do, that she would be far more impressed if you cooked those eggs.
She would be. She would be very impressed. So that would be the next level. But balance.
Oh, there's levels.
Balancing cook. Now you're irresistible at that point. Some things about following Jesus are really, really difficult and simultaneously kind of fun.
Okay.
So I want to throw one at you, one example of this, and that is giving spontaneously.
Mm-hmm.
Because we think, and we can pat ourselves on the back, oh, I'm giving to this organization or that one. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have it set up. So I give this amount every 2 weeks or every month or every week or whatever. Like, this is what I do. Yeah, but what if you come across somebody who's in need?
Mm.
Well, I already give to the point, but well, that may not be the way of following Jesus necessarily. We can get better at this.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've noticed when I'm actually doing that is that it's really fun. Mm-hmm. And that the whole giving thing becomes a more of a living relational deal with God. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know where this money's going to come from necessarily, or maybe I don't know what I'm doing here. Help me out. And then you get to see where God meets your need after that. Mm-hmm. And it's just fun to be spontaneous and be open. So I have to remind myself, like, yeah, okay, I might be giving this or that regularly on a schedule, but okay, but what else is out there that I can be part of if it comes across my path? Love doing this, and you can play along at home. We do sci-fi questions, so I have an alien that will give you a deal that puts it in the sci-fi realm, mm-hmm. and then you have to decide. So I like that stuff.
Sure.
So that's why Sherry lets me do it. She's the producer.
Sometimes
she doesn't want to. But anyway, we have this awesome sci-fi question for you, Eric. You ready for this?
Ooh, absolutely.
Okay.
This could be dicey, and the aliens know that. The aliens are coming with a deal for you.
Oh, dear.
They sit down at a little card table. So it's win or win. But it might be a little dicey. And you've got 10 seconds to decide. They're offering you a $10,000 very fancy vacation package to Hawaii for you and your family. Or you can get 10 IQ points to give to your wife.
Oh, okay? My goodness.
So you have 10 seconds. She'll be smarter. She might like that. I don't know.
But so, you're implying.
Maybe not. You can explain it, but you have 10 seconds. The Hawaii thing or permanent intelligence bump. Not for you, but for your spouse. That's where the wrinkle comes in.
Wow, yeah, it's a wrinkle, all right.
I would say Hawaii. My wife is the most amazing woman I ever know, and it would be awesome to take her someplace. If I said she had the IQ thing, you know, she's already incredibly smart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she married me, and if I give her more IQ points, she'd be like, maybe not, you know?
You don't want her to be like,
You don't want the gap to grow. I understand that.
What did I do?
Yeah, I would choose the IQ points for my wife, though, and I would explain it, and she would appreciate it.
You think?
Yeah. I mean, she doesn't need it. She's brilliant.
Yeah, I know
Same thing, but just
like... But there's an implication there where you're like, no, I'm not going on vacation. You need to be smarter.
The vacation comes and goes, but no, you don't have to be, but here you are. It's a gift.
Oh, that's dicey. These are tricky aliens. tricky aliens.
$10,000 fancy vacation package to Hawaii, if you'd like that. Or, and you have 10 seconds to decide this, or 10 IQ points for your sister.
Wait. Okay, I have two sisters. Which one?
Both of them. They both get 10 points.
Oh, okay.
They both get to all trucks. They both get 10 points, or I get $10,000 in a vacation package.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Ideas.
Okay, look. No, don't rush me. Okay, so I'll take it for my sisters. My sisters can have the points.
Oh, that's nice. Now, I've been saying that the implication here, when you take that, is to say that they need the points.
So much that you're willing to pass up a Hawaii trip.
Just to get them to be a little smarter.
Let's say we're your sisters. How do you break it to us?
Oh, that's good. Yes. Go ahead. We're your sisters.
You got us some IQ points. Go ahead.
Okay. Hey, what's up? Look.
Hey.
I passed up, and you know how I feel about islands, right? From my vacation last year.
Yeah.
But look. I'm blessing y'all with 10 IQ points each. Imagine how much more learning you'll get done. Imagine the depth of our conversation.
Okay, we get it.
Yeah, we throw the word blessing there. It's theological now.
We get it. You got some IQ points instead of a vacation. Makes sense to us.
Amen. Yeah. I'm thinking long term.
Maybe you've noticed this. In fact, I bet you have. At some point, you've noticed this in yourself. I'll say this about everybody. I've never met anybody who wasn't this way. And here's what I'm talking about. Extremely influenced by who they're hanging around. Extremely influenced. That's me. That's you. That's everybody. What is my input? Where is this coming from? And it doesn't have to be people. It can be media influences. There's no doubt about it. Here I am, a grown man who likes to think I'm an independent thinker and whatnot, but I know if I spend time with, you know, reading a particularly insightful author, and I keep going back to that author and I keep absorbing this or listening to that wise person on a podcast, it really helps me, shapes my thinking. Conversely, if I'm not around people that have wisdom, if I'm not actually spending any time in the Bible, I'm not actually talking to God at all, I'm absorbing news or just silly entertainment, foolish stuff, it affects my thinking. It affects how I think. what I think about when I'm walking around. It's amazing. If it's true for me, it's certainly true for you. And I'm just saying this because I have learned it about myself and wanted to remind you, like, hey, if you're kind of stuck in a lot of negativism or a lot of anger and whatnot, check what you're watching. Question, do you wear perfume or cologne? I thought this was interesting, just how people relate. I always kind of try to study that.
Mm-hmm.
But a third of people say they have their own signature scent.
Ah.
It's their signature scent. And then mm-hmm. I saw simultaneously another survey that said the vast majority of people wish you didn't have a signature scent.
Signature scent. We don't like it.
We don't like it. We want you to tone it down, in fact. So
that's sad.
So it's like, yes, I recognize your signature scent. And
Please give it up.
Stop it. Go ahead, bring it up. What was it?
Wait, let me get it because I read it and I was like, that's probably true. And I need him to unpack that for me because I'll need to remember that. Your Enneagram thought for today. I get yours and mine.
Yeah, okay, so the Enneagram.
Yes.
I'm a 5.
Yes.
So Sherry's a 7.
I'm a 7. So yours is it avarice?
Avarice, greed.
Yes, that is your passion, which is hoarding energetic resources and knowledge based on sense of inner impoverishment. Where do you see this urge to hoard occurring in your life today? So I thought about how you're conserving energy.
Yeah.
Just explain that to me because we're so different in that regard. And I'm always trying to be very aware of it.
Well, you're super kind about that. So just so you know, in case you, as you're listening, maybe you're a 5 or you know somebody like me. We have a hard time not fearing people sapping our energy.
Mm-hmm.
We anticipate it happening.
Mm.
We're usually introverted, but we can just see it coming. Like if I know I've got some sort of a thing coming up with mm-hmm. people coming over or something in the evening,
mm-hmm.
I'll start storing up energy. Like I don't want to talk as much.
Right.
If I know I have to make a phone call,
mm-hmm.
I dread it
mm-hmm.
because I know it's going to be an energy drain.
Yeah.
I feel like I only have so much to go around. What I've heard is that really needs to be ignored because you do have the energy.
Mm.
That's what I've heard, but I can't. I've said that to another friend of mine who's a 5, and he's like, no.
He's like, where is it then?
Yeah, where is it? Like, no.
Show me then.
But you don't need to be so, like, we hoard it.
What do you believe is going to happen, or has people it ever happened that it's gone? What do you think is going to happen when it's gone?
People will leech it off. I know it sounds mm-hmm. terrible, but mm-hmm. like just grab whatever life force you have left and just right. take it.
And then what's going to happen to you? What do you fear is going to happen to you?
Honestly,
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
But maybe my biggest fear, if it's a fear, I think it would be that they're going to judge me, just being really honest here, it's a great question,
mm-hmm.
for not being enough whatever.
Ah, okay.
Not being happy-go-lucky enough.
I have nothing to give anymore.
Not being as conversant. He's mm-hmm. oh, now he's not good. I mean, I've sat there with around people, mm-hmm. and I've run out of gas.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And then people are like, oh, Brant's mad about something again.
Yeah.
No, he's not mad. I'm not mad. I don't mm-hmm. have anything to say. But that happens to me. I hit a wall. So the energy thing seems real to me. And my parents would say, my mom would say, like, that happened ever since you were a kid. It's like you just shut off.
Oh, no, it's real. I've seen
it. Okay, and it's not.
I have seen it.
It's I could love the people I'm with.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like, I don't have anything left. I'm sorry.
Click. Yeah, yeah.
And so people, like, I guess that's the fears given off. I can't win at that point.
Right, yeah.
What am I going to do? Everybody's yucking it up, and I got nothing. That's the fear. So I think this is worth talking about because you might have somebody as you're listening like that's like that. It's not good. It's as a believer,
mm-hmm.
I have to look at that and say, no, I'm made for others. I have to address this. It's mm-hmm. not okay just go, well, I'm just a 5.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I am. I'd click off. No, I'm going to try to summon like an endurance athlete or something. I'm going to try to summon the kindness to show people who I do value. And I do value them like all the way through the evening until the end.
Mm-hmm.
I've had to apologize recently, mm-hmm. twice, because mm-hmm. my wife said, well, that was abrupt.
Mm-hmm.
We just left.
And I had to call him and go, I guess we left abruptly. I'm saying, oh, don't worry about it. Yeah, you did, but don't worry about it. Okay.
I don't mean to laugh, but there is, for me, it's been a wonderful journey. It has not been a challenge at all. So I want you to know that.
Good.
Somebody asked me about you and I said, let me tell you one thing. He has never once surprised me. And that is so reassuring. Not once have I said, I can't believe he did that. Whatever it is, it's well within Brant world and I'm okay with it. And it's been a journey to understand someone who's not like me and respect it and honor it. Because on the other side, you have to honor that this person only had, when you gave me that battery analogy, I'm telling you that changed my life. Because again, I'm coming in hot at 120 battery level every day. I wake up with 120. So when you say, I got 38.
And that you can watch the numbers drop.
Then I realized, oh, okay, so then that means I can't come in here and talk for 45 minutes about, you know, whatever, and drain it when we still have to do the show. Do that after, whatever energy he has left, because you got to get you see what I'm saying? Like,
Totally. It's very kind honor. And that's just a great lesson across the board for human interaction, because it may not be my set of idiosyncrasies. Mm-hmm. It may be something else, but there's the same kindness, deep kindness that comes with that. I will tell you that, and you're not saying this. In fact, you said it's not challenging. Mm-hmm. Okay, appreciate that. But there's a deep sadness for me and thinking that I'm having a good time with people or I'm being a good coworker or something.
Yeah.
And then I hear,
I know.
Man, what's his problem? Like, darn it.
I know. And I
don't have a problem. Like, I love you guys. Like, I thought I was doing my thing.
I've wanted to fight people for that.
I know. We don't work in an environment now with a ton of people around.
Right.
But I've worked so hard on that it got to the point where the last big place we worked, the first day, I spoke to like all the employees. Mm-hmm. They brought me up on stage. There's Brant's a new guy here. Mm-hmm. And I told like 200 or 300 employees, like, I just want you to know, I'm not mad. My head is shaking. No, my eyes are shaking. I can't help that. I'm in the hallway. I'm looking down. I don't make eye contact. I can speak too bluntly or gruffly, but I'm actually not mad. I'm usually fine. So I do that and then try to do all the other stuff. But it does, you know.
That's a lot of social energy, and I understand why you're expending it. What I'm saying to people whom it may not take that much for you is to honor the fact that it does for some. Respect it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We're in relationship together as family.
Yeah,
and understand it and say, okay. So that's why I wanted to ask you about that, because I read that.
That's
and I was
a great
like,
question.
That is so interesting. I want to know what your thought process is. So
can I say some more about me?
Absolutely.
Brant Hanson? I think about me that... You know, I didn't even thought about this for a while, but I always, as a kid, just shut down and I could go stand in a corner and fall asleep. That was a joke. But I've heard since, it was a neurologist I was talking to. He was talking about my nystagmus. So it's not just the Asperger's, but the nystagmus. So my eyes moving back and forth, the brain issue that I have. He said people who have that in a severe way can get very tired.
That makes sense.
And it's because your brain is compensating in real time. So I have to slow down what my eyes are doing or else everything's just shaking like mad.
Right, right.
So my brain is always on at a base level doing that work. So it's like a computer memory. Like it's using memory just to stay on.
Yeah.
And some computers are more efficient than others. Well, mine's running hard unconsciously all the time just to stay so it can stand up. So I thought, well, that's interesting, because it would kind of make sense.
Yeah.
And it doesn't help with the energy thing, but it's like, yeah, after a while I was like, I don't got anything left. Brain shutting, closing.
5, 4, 3, 2,
1.
He's out the door.
It's over.
All right, that's it.
This has been the Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by Fellowship Home Loans. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brant's new book, The Truth About Us, go to BrantHanson.com.